Blog Talk Radio.
All right. We are back. Just like that. Another day. Another week. Another moment in time. And this week, so much has happened. So much. I keep saying exchange situation since we've come through that ring. We've made it to the other side. An exchange of situation is the thing. And here we are, eyeballing them, watching them lose their mind, not understand that this is our time. And as we do this thing and we see it and we move forward through it, there's nothing that's going to stop it. And that gives an all praises to the Most High. We see that people are up in arms. We see that people are upset. We see that the world is trying to save itself instead of allowing salvation to come. We see Edomite, or rather, we see nation against nation. Everybody jockeying for position. Everybody want to act like they, you know, they got the biggest kahunas. When in fact, every nation's sword is rusty. This is what we're about to see. Their rusty sword. Their swords are so rusty that they have become so heavy that they can no longer bear them. They think that all they can do, all they're going to have to do is push a button, but the Father's not going to let them. We're going to talk about that later. And it's making me feel good. Not at their calamity, but at my redemption. At our redemption. People, oh, well, you upset, you ain't got no compassion, you ain't got, no, it's not that I don't have any compassion, it's just that I'm excited for me. This is my time. I'm going to be excited for what goes on with these other nations, so be it. They, you know, I can always, you know, say, you know, they didn't really care about us, right? They don't really care about us. You know, I mean, I can always say that, but at the same time, that's of no consequence because that's a given. But what is of consequence is my own redemption. You know, my rapture, my pure pleasure of joy, of righteous joy, because I'm tired. I'm tired of seeing these foolish people. I'm tired of them putting up people who are just, you know, I'm tired of Hollywood. And we know who runs Hollywood, right? We know who runs the world. So I'm tired of them running the world. I'm tired of it. Not that I don't, and it's not that I don't like them individually, because that's stupid. I like all people. I have no qualms with people who I meet day to day, that I deal with day to day, that I grew up with, that I conversate with. I got no problems with them. What I got a problem with are those that run the system. And there's no coincidence that those that run the system say that they are, but it's very clear that they are not. That's why it's not, you know, and it's funny, you know, on Tickums Tockums, you see on matter of fact, on all Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Reddit, all the back channels, the bat channels, everybody is not excited about these that say they are but are not. I've seen over the last couple months of things steering in the hearts and mind. I've seen the Father steer the hearts and mind of the nations. They're all going, what is this? And, you know, I said it before, you know, okay, so we're seeing We're seeing Jeremiah 16:19. We're seeing Solomon, Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5. You know, we're seeing these things. We're seeing this happen now, and that's what the Gentiles. Okay, that's the Gentiles coming and doing and saying what they're going to come and do and say. But lest we forget that those that say they are but are not also have something to do in that. And they're not going to be happy about it, but it's going to take them doing that for it all to come to an end. So, can you feel it, Israel? Can you feel it, brothers and sisters? And that's the song of the night. So let's check it out. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Come on. All this music that we grew up with, that we saw, that we sung, it's all coming back to us now. And it's talking to us. And it's hard. It's the beat. Listen to the horns. They even got shofars in it. Waking up to this, literally. Get you up, get you right. Because can we feel it? It's in the air. And here it comes. Collective consciousness. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Yes, indeed. Tell you what, I was woke up this morning and I was listening to Lisa, sister Lisa, talk about the Hebrew brethren on the corner going against the Palestinians, and the father had put it, like as she was talking, the father said, can you feel it? You know, there was a spirit. I said, can you feel it? And I said, whoa, can I feel it? And I'm driving down and I got, you know, picked up my phone and quickly put in, can you feel it on YouTube? And that one came up and I jammed that all the way to work. Just it's in the air. And if we don't see it, we need to see it. It's like this. It's just like this. Watch this. Watch this. Who owns the DNA testing companies? Now watch this. Who owns the DNA testing companies? Now, the DNA testing companies, plural. The private equity firm Blackstone. Okay, Blackstone, interesting. Okay. Well, who owns Blackstone? Who owns Blackstone? Stephen A. Schwartzman. Interesting. Stephen A. Schwartzman. I wonder, is Stephen A. Schwartzman Jewish? Schwartzman was raised in a Jewish family in Huntingdon Valley, Pennsylvania. The son of Arline and Joseph Schwartzman. His father owned Schwartzman's, a former dry goods store in Philadelphia, and was a graduate of the Wharton School. Interesting. But did you know that Jewish people do not get DNA tested? They are against it. So why does Jewish people not get DNA tested? However, when it comes to genetics, now watch this. When it comes to genetics as a means of testing Jewishness, many rabbis remain skeptical. One rabbi said he believed genetics could be a consultant to Jewish law. For other rabbis, concerns remain about the dangerous eugenic overtones. Now eugenics. Interesting. Because that's what they use against us. So these people own the DNA testing centers to tell you and I that we're from Africa, but they won't take it because they know that it will show that they're from Europe. In particular, Khazar, Ukraine, Polish. So why is that important? Because see, now the times have, the exchange of situation is in. So along with the Gentiles being exposed to who we are truly, they also, Ish, also gets exposed to who they aren't. As the whole world comes into alignment of the truth, because for so long they have held captive the truth. The Father gave them the truth and the lie. And he said to them, hey, you choose. And they said, well, we want the lie. Because if we told the truth, we couldn't be on top. We couldn't be in control. And the whole world was in cahoots. And I'm of the opinion that Psalms 83 came into existence when King Khazarian king was told to make a choice. What European religion that they were going to convert to. Because from that point forward, identity theft set in. And the whole world was complicit in that identity theft. And that came about in the 8th and the 9th century. And as that came about, they went about the world that they knew to destroy the true Jews. And it has not stopped to this day. And that's why the father said, fine, if you want the lie, I'm going to let you have the lie. As Brother Judas says, and it is a fact that the father had them do this and make that choice so that they can have so that he can have a testimony against them. That's why they're all disproportionate right now. You got some of them going, well, we gotta support Ish, and then others, we gotta support Palestine. They're all discombobulated. And even those brothers that were out there on the corner in Chi-Town, knowing that, okay, them brothers were set up by someone, I'm not going to say who or what, I don't even need to speculate, because the reality is that they do something that is against a truth. Not everybody is one thing or the other. Not everybody. There is no totality of the all isms in this. Moreover, you can't bring hate to the table and think that you're going to gain salvation, because that's the same thing that the heathens and the Gentiles and the Ishes bring. So for them to do the same thing should be an eye-opener to say, oh, wait a minute, you guys are from the same group. You guys are under the same tutelage. You guys are under the same ideology. So why would the Palestinians or those supporting Palestine go against them brothers? It doesn't even make sense. See, that's a distraction. That's a confusion. That's to get us so that Ish can say, see, these black people don't even like Palestinians. And that's not, you know, but that's how they're going to coin it. But that's not true. Again, they're going to stick to their lie, stick to their guns of the lie all the way through. And again, we haven't heard from them in quite some time. And all of a sudden, they bust on the scene like Leaders of the New School, right? Bust on the scene, you know, scenario. What's the scenario? This is what they did. They just came up all of a sudden, just bust up in, shooting, killing, blowing people up, talking about if you don't like us, we killing you. We hate you because you hate us. It's like, whoa, cat. Where'd all this come from? Matter of fact, we don't even trust you to tell us the truth, so we don't have time to entertain you. It's like, at this stage in the game, with the exchange of situation afoot, why do I even entertain you? Why would I care about what you're doing over there? like what you doing already is foolishness, because you're warring, and that's not even part of the characteristics of the Israel of the book. So why do I care? If you think that the father, and this is what I keep saying, I know brothers and sisters are sometimes we get distracted to believe that these people will destroy the world. They can't. They're not allowed to. They're just not allowed to. Their sword is rusty. Their sword is rusty, and it's too heavy a burden for them to deal with right now. So they're playing mind games. They think that they playing chess. They playing checkers. We can see their next move. It's so easy. These old people that are sitting up in their government halls are old and decrepit. They don't make sense when whatever they're doing. The young ones that are in their government halls don't make sense what they're doing. Every one of them is being exposed. Why? Because absolute power corrupts absolutely. So when the light gets shined on it, they run like rats. They run like cockroaches. This is what they're doing. The whole world is doing it. I feel for them the amount of, listen, the amount of civilians and innocents that this world, Ish and the Edomites, or Ish and the Gentiles, or Ish in the nations, have destroyed over the last 600 years, 1,000 years, is asinine. It's astronomical. The amount of blood, innocent blood. And now today, the nation's people, those that are of a different persuasion, of a European, the Khazarian, Germanic, Indo-European civilians are caught up. The father, of course the father was going to put this, and we couldn't see it. But when we woke up, we could see it. Of course he was going to do this at their lowest. See, they're at their lowest point. Generation Z is a lost cause. They're doing, listen, these people are not, you know, okay, so when our people were indulging in drugs heavy, we were doing a stimulant, an upper, if you will. Crack cocaine, hell of a drug. It's an upper. Made you do the, you know, pumped you up. These people are doing downers. They're doing tranquilizers, fentanyl, trank, heroin. They're doing things to bring them down, down, down. And it's fitting that the father is putting the sword to them, putting Excalibur to them at their lowest. It's just fitting. And listen, I'm not sitting here boasting over the father's whoop-ass to them. No, because I've been part of that whoop-ass, and I didn't like it. But at the same time, what's good for the goose is definitely good for the gander. There must be balance. Ain't nobody mad or upset or hateful or spiteful. No, there must be balance. This is what you're seeing. You know, I know many a brother, many a sister, many a nation people want to talk about the four horsemen, and they want to say no. Listen, it doesn't matter if you don't see that the black horse rides now with the scales and the balance. You're missing something. You need to reread that. This ain't got nothing. Listen, the black horse, if you will, rides with balance. That's the beauty of the black horse. It brings the scales. So. Whatever they're talking about or whatever they wrote, you know, or whatever they want to say, you know, Jesus, their Jesus is salvation and all. Listen, the black horse brings balance. It brings balance. This is the times that we're in. And who's the black horse? We are. Why? Because we're bringing balance. We're not all engaged with what they're talking about. We're not all engaged with their fear and their hate and their sanctimoniousness. We're not engaged with their madness anymore. They're seeing us like, why aren't they engaged with what we're doing? You know, goes back to why aren't they praying for us? Don't they want to pray for the country? Listen, this is my country. This is my country. I pray for it how I want it. I pray for justice, not peace. Because only the Father will bring the peace after he brings justice, after he brings balance. First, there must be balance to right the scales, to bring justice, to bring peace. Look at the Middle East. There's no peace. Ain't never been no peace. How is it that people can sit here with a straight face and say that those that say they are but are not are? Like that is asininity in the big scheme of things. Looking at the big picture, the big picture, taking a step back, stepping back, climbing the Jacob's ladder and looking downward, you can see all the error now in everything. Before it happens, I remember I was in it so deep. I was so deep in the world that I couldn't see the error. So therefore, I kept making the same error over and over again. Now I get to go, okay, well, let me climb up real quick. Something's not right. Let me climb up and look at it from a different vantage point. Let me just take a look at what's going on. Let me weigh the facts. Boom, the black horse rides. Let me weigh the facts. Boom, the black horse rides. Why? Because I get to weigh it in the balances. I do. You do. We do. We don't have to sit back anymore and wait for someone else to weigh the balances. So their Lady Justice is blind and out of balance. Why are we waiting for that woman, that idol that they propagate as justice, why are we waiting for her? Okay, time out. Let me slow down. That is an idol. It cannot eat. It cannot drink. It cannot talk. But they put the name justice on it whilst the scales have been out of balance from the beginning, from its institution. So why now would we wait for these judges, for their court system, for their lawyers to bring me justice, bring us justice? Why? When we are justice, we are justice. That's why, you know, and it's funny, when, you know, of all the lawyers and all the judges in this country, let's say you do something, let's say, you know, let me back up, because I sit here and in my career, and I'm sitting here, I deal closely with attorneys now, more so than I did with the mortgage, on the mortgage side, because this is the commercial side. And the commercial side is heavy in legalese, okay? And the biggest thing is, and it's funny, the biggest thing on the commercial side is treating your borrowers, treating the borrower the way that you want to be treated. Did you hear me? This is the thing now that they are pushing, to treat the borrower the way that you want to be treated. Which, hey, listen, from a righteous perspective, it is true. However, you can't use the second greatest commandment for a capitalist ideology. You can't use it that way. It has to be used in a righteous way. So if we take a step back and go forward, go higher up the ladder, Jacob's ladder, and we look at the esoteric of the meanings of all of these things that are happening since the Ring of Fire, we see the spiritual warfare almost coming to a close. Well, we see the winning of the righteous spirit. We see the righteous spirit winning. Like that is what we're starting to see. We're starting to see, the righteous spirit pushing back the wicked. So what they're doing is they're trying to get out in front of it by, within their institutions, talk about the second greatest commandment, not the first, but the second, when you can't have one without the other. You can't say, well, I don't love God, but I want to treat someone the way I want to be treated. That doesn't work that way. You have to be righteous first by loving Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay. Then from that, you can jump off and say, well, you know what? Because I love the Father, I can now utilize that same love of the Father spirit. I can do that to my brothers and sisters. And that's where we come in. We're doing that. We're the ones that's showing that. We're the ones that's showing how that looks. We're not the ones that are sitting here going, well, I'm gonna treat you the way I wanna be treated so that I can make this money, so that I can maintain this position. And listen, I'm all for it, because I'm all for treating people proper. I think a lot of us are. A lot of us now have coming through the ring of fire already know that the exchange of situation is here. Like, we can see it. We can see it at a distance. We can see it at a distance in time. Meaning, we're in 2024. We're at the eclipse. We're, matter of fact, we're past the eclipse. We're basing time now, which is an interesting concept. We're basing time off of the stars. We're no longer basing time off of Edomite or Roman time infrastructure. We're no longer basing it off of that. It's just like, oh, this weekend, we got to change the clocks back. Well, who gave you that authority that you get to change time? See, that's in your faith. We can change the time. We'll just call it daylight savings time. Well, what? Oh, well, you know, the farmers, listen, you just want to do that so that you can say that you control, that you, because at the time when you were doing that, when you were instituting that, nations, you were in your blessing. Therefore, you wanted to show that you had the authority, just like going to the moon. It's like I read earlier today that they're looking at how to think. They're trying to bring water to the moon. And I'm thinking to myself, you guys are still trying to act like you guys can go to the moon? I mean, we know that Ish in its Hollywood production and theatrics and theater created that lie, as it has done everything. It's just like on TV, you know, people said, yeah, we saw a plane. But that was after people said that they didn't see a plane. They saw missiles, what looked like to them missiles, hit the Twin Towers. But then the narrative came out of a plane. Then what they did was they showed us planes on TV. They did theater again. This is, you know, and even in their wars, they call it, from a military standpoint, theater. So this thing is about to come to an end. And we know it because we've been, you know, people are stuck. Not wanting to say stuff. People are, you know, all about the 66. I got no problems with brothers and sisters and nation peoples and the nations always talking about the 66. Great. I mean, at the end of the day, if you don't understand the historical context of the 66 and the people, the characters of the 66, then it doesn't even matter what you're talking about. Because what you're saying is, based on the 66, it's all about forgiveness. However, you have not shown, the world has not shown forgiveness for anyone. Matter of fact, it's the opposite. The world has shown how to destroy righteous vengeance, which goes back to the camps. The camps is looking for righteous vengeance. They're not, they're saying, it's the same MO, motive operandi. It is the same thing. Nothing new under the sun. No nations have been, it's like their playbook is the same. It's like using, you know, an outdated NFL playbook, thinking, you know, winning the first, it's like a coach winning the very first Super Bowl, thinking that it can win the 50th, using the same playbook. Like nobody's seen that. After people wake up to it and they go, well, wait a minute. Just like they did with Deion. They turned around and they said, they got all, came all together and said, listen, this is what he does. This, this, this. See, they didn't let him use the same playbook. He had to change. So why would we think that they are any different? The nations can't even change. They're not able to change. Deion's able to change, maybe, maybe not, based on his personnel, but the nations are not able to change because it's not written that they're going to change. It's written that some, a few, will change, not all. That's what, you know, this whole John 3:16 madness is about. They pick and choose what they want. As we know, there's nothing new there. Nothing new. We know that. You know, nothing new. But the interesting part is the hypocrisy of the DNA. That's why I don't do it. Because I already know what they're doing. They're trying to get everybody to believe, every Negro to believe that they all from Africa. So that they can maintain control over this land. So that they can put us or keep us in perpetual covetousness of someone else's land, of our brother's lands, so that they can take this land. Because if we don't say, well, wait, we want our land here in America, then they'll say, you know, if we don't say that, then they get to keep this. The moment that, and look over the last 7 years, we sat around and we said, yo, this is, we are from America. Everything's been changing since we said we are from America. The moment, the first 3 years, 2 years, 16, 14, 15, and 16, we were all about Africa. We were all trying to fit that in Africa. Why? Because the late brother Darby came up with Negroland. And we're like, what? Negroland? Now that makes sense. But then the next couple years, we start recognizing, wait, that's just Judah. That's just two of the 12, two and a half of the 12 tribes. What about the other 10? And we took our gaze from the two to the 10, and everything changed. Everything's been changing since. And this is where we are. All praises. All praises. I mean, I don't know, you know, can you feel it? Like, this is where we at. Can you feel it? Like, it's in the air. The collective consciousness. What is it? What is it? The 100 monkey experiment, the so-called. Like, this is the collective consciousness. We are starting to feel it. It's in our bones. This is Ezekiel 37. This is us. That's why it's so interesting the way that they, you know, now that I know things, now that I know more things, I'll say it like that, by the grace of the Father and the love of the Father who has given me this information. Now when they start trying to break down scriptures, it is the most... It's not even funny. It's so wrong. It's like, nah, man, that's not how. No, that's wrong. That's not the proper breakdown. Whatever. And I move on. But it's like, you know, they're trying to break down, and even those that do break it down right, they then put the characters wrong. So they'll break down some things and say, Ish was scattered, or let's say the Israel was scattered throughout the whole world, and they'll equate that still to Ish. It's like, but wait, when were they scattered throughout the world? When have they been on the bottom? 1939, 38, they were at the bottom. No, listen, wordplay, sorcery. Ashkenazi, Nazi. In your face. These are the same ones. Germans didn't do anything necessarily other than follow the Ashkenazi. Hitler was Jew-ish. Like, this is, we have been played for fools, for suckers, for so long that now, because we get to see the truth, it don't, the lie don't even taste good anymore. It just don't resonate, because we know the end game. And here's the end game. This is why I keep saying they will never destroy this earth. They will never do it. They have no authority to do so. They think they do, but they have no authority. And I'm just going to read this one little bit of it. Matthew 24:22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for, and this is the remix, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So that tells me automatically, oh, these niggas is going to try to destroy the Father's creation. But, aha, and I'm using niggas as ignorant people, aha, Father's going to come back and stop them. See, that's the end game. All the other things and all the bits, all the rest, this is like a gumbo, okay? All of that, all the roux, onions, the cayenne, all the seasons, all the if you like your seafood, I don't really like seafood gumbo, but all the chicken, let's just use chicken, all the veggies, the potatoes, the corn, all that makes the gumbo. So this is a gumbo, and these jokers are not able to eat that gumbo. They are just a piece of the gumbo. Matter of fact, they're not even, they may just be a seasoning of the gumbo. They ain't the gumbo. They can't destroy the gumbo. They're not making the gumbo. They're just part of the gumbo. Sorry for that analogy, but that's just how it feels. Like, they are not even the creator to destroy what the creator has created. Now, they can destroy what they created. Which brings me to the reading. And I'm back in the Third Testament because my brethren said, check this out. And I was like, what? And here it is. Make sure I'm on the right one. Yeah. This is Third Testament, page 287. The power of evil shall be broken. And I know people are like, well, the Third Testament. Listen, if you ain't ready to receive it, don't. Just don't. That's not my problem. I get to read it. I get to expound on it, but I digress. The power of evil shall be broken. Until now, it has not been human love which has dominated the world. It has been, as it was from the beginning of mankind, human power which reigns and conquers. The one who has loved has become the victim of evil. Evil has extended its kingdom and has been strong on earth. And it is precisely in this time that I bring my weapons to oppose these powers so that my kingdom of love and justice may be established among men. But before my kingdom is established, I will have to battle evil. For it is necessary that I wage war and destroy all evil to give you the peace of my spirit. Men will come to the end of their own path and return along the same way, reaping the fruit of all they have sown. That
is the only manner in which they will truly repent. For without recognizing their fruits, they can do nothing to correct their errors. Voila. A new world is in preparation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The new generations are about to arrive. That's right. But before that occurs, it is necessary to separate the hungry wolves so that they do not prey upon the sheep. An immaterial leprosy, the earth, it eats away the hearts and destroys the faith and the virtue. Men are covered with spiritual rags. They know that no one is able to discover those miseries because human beings cannot see beyond what is physical. But the hour of the conscious approaches. It is the same as if you would say that the day of the, this says Lord, the day, the day of our Father or his judgment is about to take place. Then shame will rise in some and remorse in others. Those who listen to the inner voice, burning and inflexible, will feel within them a fire that devours, which exterminates and purifies. The sinner cannot resist that fire of justice or anything which is not pure. Only the spirit is able to resist it because he is endowed with the divine strength. Therefore, when he has passed through the fire of his consciousness, he will have to come out cleansed of his errors. All the pain caused by men will be brought together in one single cup. Talked about that a while ago, a cup of dregs, which will be drunk by those who originally caused it. You know, I deal with the 66. Every book, this is how you know the truth. The foundation that the heathens put together, although they left a bunch out, the Father let them do it. That's what he said, you know, save the rest for last so that these other books talk about the books in greater detail, talks about the books, giving you more understanding of self, because you will be judged collectively and you will be judged individually. But individually, you get an opportunity to repent. Collectively, nations do not get that same opportunity. Why? Because they have to reap what they have sown. So this forgiveness and love, that doesn't happen until after payment is due. You got to, it's like paying off your car. Well, you can't own and truly love your car or your house or whatever thing that you have until you own it. And even then you don't truly own it because this is based on usury, but you have to own it outright. I digress. Sorry. And those who have never moved by pain will tremble. Let me read that again. All the pain caused by men will be brought together in one single cup, which will be drunk by those who originally caused it. And those who have never been moved by pain will tremble in spirit and flesh. It is necessary that for an instant the heavens be closed to all, and that they reopen only when from the earth comes up one single cry. That's what we've been doing. Recognizing that the Father of all beings is one only. I tell you truly, I shall submit this fratricidal and selfish world to judgment, and I shall purify it until I see that love and light spring forth from it, and that those who today lead their people to the abyss, those who today sow and propagate vices, those who have created a reign of injustice shall be those to whom I give it to battle the temptations, destroy the perversities, and uproot the tree of evil. Let me read that again. I tell you truly, I shall submit this fratricidal and selfish world to judgment, and I shall purify it until I see that love and light spring forth from it, and that those who today lead their people to the abyss, those who today sow and propagate vices, those who have created a reign of injustice, shall be those to whom I give it to battle the temptations, destroy the perversities, and uproot the tree of evil. Man, making use of his free will, has so twisted the road as to forget from whom he originated, and has gone to the extreme of considering virtue, love, goodness, peace, and brotherhood to be alien to his nature, while seeing selfishness, vice, and sin as completely natural and legitimate. Now, time out. That's what Ish has done. Let me see if I can do this real quick. Ish was kicked out of all the land because of debauchery, because of the debauchery that they brought, excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. Okay? This is what they did in Russia, and Russia kicked them out. That was World War I. That's what that was about. Kicked them out. They went into Germany. Germany got tired of them, kicked them out. And look at Germany today. Very debaucherous. Very, 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 very debaucherous. All types of sensual pleasures going on over in Germany. Okay? And then they went over to the Americas, the U.S., and made it debaucherous. Because remember, it was, you know, yes, there was still some debauchery happening, but it wasn't to the extent that it was. There was still some form of morality pre-1950. And in 1950, the morality went undercover. They were doing things behind closed doors in their men's lodges. And, you know, they were doing groups. And, you know, you had to be part of, be a member to get into this, that, and the third and be part of the debauchery. Okay. Then by the time we all were, you know, I mean, by the time I was born in 1970, you know, it was a little bit out. It was, you know, they were at that point, they were doing porn. They were ready to put porn out there. And who did that? Who created that? So anyway. And this is what it's saying. The new Sodom is all over the earth, and a new purification is necessary. The good seed shall be rescued, and with it a new humanity will be formed. My seed shall fall upon fertile soil, watered by the tears of repentance, and it shall grow in the hearts of future generations that know how to offer the Father a higher worship. That's where we're headed to, higher worship. I shall permit the hand of man to carry out destruction, death, and war, but only to a certain point. That's what I just read. It's Matthew 24:22. Beyond that limit, the depravity, the obfuscation, and the ambition of men shall not pass. That is when my Sith shall come and with wisdom reap according to my will. For my Sith is of life, of love, and of true justice. But as for you people, pray and keep vigil. That's us. And keep vigil. Yesterday, the earth was a vale of tears. Now it is a valley of blood. Tomorrow, what shall it be? A field of smoking ruin over which pass the flames of justice, exterminating sin, and striking down the pride of loveless men because they have forgotten the Spirit. And so the merchants of science will be driven from the temple of wisdom because they profane the truth and enrich themselves with the light. Wow. The great nation rise up proclaiming their might, menacing the world with their weapons and boasting of their intelligence and their science, not realizing how fragile is the false world they have created. For a small touch of my justice shall be sufficient to make the artificial world disappear. Time out. That's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing. That's what has happened after the Ring of Fire. That's this Ring of Fire to the 2024 eclipse. This is what you're seeing. This right here. The great nations rise up proclaiming their might, menacing the world with their weapons and boasting of their intelligence and their science, not realizing how fragile is the false world they have created. For a small touch of my justice shall be sufficient to make that artificial world disappear. That's us, the Black Horse, justice. That's us, a small few in number. Changing. The exchange of situation is afoot. Why? Because the Father is tired too. And he only needs a few. Matter of fact, he could do it himself, but he wants the world to know that he has loved us. Look how great that is. How beautiful that is. Can you feel it? It shall be the hand of man which destroys. So this is what I was talking about. They have no freaking authority to destroy anything that the Father has created. That means the land, the air, the sea. Now, they poisoned it, yeah, but the Father's going to sort that out. They didn't create man, even though they're trying to clone and you know, build babies and all that madness. That ain't going to work either because they didn't create the original, okay? And this is what this is saying. It shall be the hand of man which destroys his own works. It shall be his own mind that invents the means of exterminating what he first created. So that's his buildings. And that we see that in God's. We see that they love to blow their stuff up. They build it, they blow it up. Okay? Their cars, their infrastructure, their system. Okay. I shall cause to remain standing only those human works that have brought healthy fruits to men, so that they may continue being cultivated for the good of future generations. So this is why every civilization utilized, there were still parts of that civilization left. It wasn't until the revived Roman Empire did they, you know, we built this, even though they put on their founded in 1866 or whatever, 1817, founded. They found these things, but they attributed them to themselves. So this is why that is, because he allowed certain things to stay because they were, it was fruitful from the previous civilization. It was fruitful from the previous civilization. That's why it was able to, that's why these buildings stayed. You know, the cell phones, the ancient cell phones, the ancient energies, the ancient light, the ancient roads, or some, the ancient ley lines, some, those things were not fruitful. So they had to go. That's why we see these things, ancient planes, ancient weapons, those weren't fruitful. That's why we still see them and people are perplexed, like, wow, how did they have that then? Because nothing new under the sun. Same thing. Just each civilization gets to a point of growth scientifically, mathematically, astronomically, socially, to where these things, how can I communicate faster? These are the things that we always, as humans, we think of these things. So each civilization has thought of these things. The revived Roman Empire has gotten us to believe that people back in the past were just walking around barefoot, you know, they have no clue. It wasn't until they came onto the scene and brought all this knowledge. Lies. They just, we know. It's not even hard anymore. This shit is not freaking hard. This is why you see it all going to hell in a handbasket, because we realize this is not hard. Whatever they're talking about isn't even true. Matter of fact, we don't even entertain them anymore. And this third testament coming out, just like the sealed portion, just like the Book of Mormon, just like the Apocrypha, just like the apocalyptic books, just like Pseudepigrapha, just like all of them, the Kabbalah, the Zohar, all of the books that we picked up and started to read has allowed us esoterically to move up Jacob's ladder spiritually, which is lessening the hold that the world had over us physically. And we've gotten better at even dealing with our spirituality. Now, back in the day, we were just going at these fools. Boom, 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 boom. Now we're like, you know what? Putin fought. I ain't got time for it. You believe what you want. It's all good. I'm not arguing with you. My pressure ain't up. I ain't got really time for it. I got to go. See? And the other thing is, shalom. We don't give our shalom to everybody. This is the premise of how we maintain our spiritual fortitude. We don't run around here and go, all right, shalom, shalom. Even though you're a pain in my ass, shalom. No, you don't get no peace from me. That is what I give. That I get from the Father. The Father gives me shalom, so I'll be damned if I'm just going to give it out freely. That's what I'm seeking. That's what we're seeking. We're seeking shalom. So why would we give it to people freely? Even our own people who are acting a straight donkey. Why would, no, you don't get no shalom out of me, bro. I might throw the deuces and give you a peace. Peace, 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 you know. But that's it. You ain't getting no shalom from me. So when I give shalom, I'm giving a piece of my spirit that the Father has given me to the nation. So when I say that, I'm giving that away earnestly, lovingly to our nation. I shall cause to remain standing only those human works that have brought healthy fruit to men, so that they may continue being cultivated for the good of future generations, all dedicated to preserve, to perverse or selfish ends, however, shall be destroyed by the fire of my inexorable justice. It's always justice. Upon the ruins created and destroyed by materialistic humanity, a new world shall arise. That's what we're doing. Whose foundation shall be in experience, and which will have as its purpose the idea of spiritual elevation. All praises. I'm gonna go forward. This is the apocalyptic wars, pests, plagues, and destruction. Now, a lot of people, you know, the Third Testament, you know, it's a lot about the spiritual, the individual spirituality, as well as the collective consciousness, but it also gives you the prophetic. See, I enjoy the propheticness of our word. I imagine myself back in the day being not a prophet, but one who studied the prophecies a lot, because our people all knew this, you know, but that's just my spirit. I really enjoy that because I'm a foreseeing guy. I'm a foresightful guy. I'm a Pisces. So I see things. I learn from all the other things that come my way. Everything that I've learned, everything I've done, I've learned from it. Not one thing have I not learned from it. Now I might make the same mistake, but that's me just doing it because, shoot, I even wanted to do it or I ain't care. But now as I get older, as I continue to manifest, as I continue to grow and move up the ladder, the rungs of Jacob's ladder, I'm starting to understand that, hey, we all have to manifest. As we manifest this whole understanding of our spirituality, as we separate ourselves from the spirituality of the heathen to the true spirituality, to our own, I won't even say true, just to our own spirituality, all of our foolishness goes away, all of our Sammy worship, all of our idolatry, all of our wickedness, all of our pains, all of our sins, it goes away. The beauty of Israel. That's the light, because we get to show the world, hey, if you do it this way, they had us doing it their way. We're done with that. That shit is late. They are a bunch of ingrate, heathen, trifling ass people who have no way, who, matter of fact, are wayward. And their churches are wayward. And their political institutions are wayward. Their social infrastructures are wayward. If it wasn't, the world wouldn't be in chaos right now. That's common sense. The apocalyptic wars, pests, plagues, and destruction. You are living in times of anguish in which men purify themselves by enduring great suffering. But those who have analyzed the prophecies already knew that the moment was soon to come. That moment in which wars would break out everywhere as nations began to reject one another. Still to come are the strange illnesses and epidemics which will appear among humanity and will confuse the scientists. And when pain reaches its peak in men, they will still have the strength to shout. It is punishment from God, but I do not punish. It is you who punish yourselves by disregarding the laws which govern your spirit and physical body. Who has unleashed and provoked the forces of nature, if not the foolishness of men? Who has defied my laws? It is the men of science in their arrogance. But verily I say to you, this pain will serve to pull out the bad weed which has grown in the heart of humanity. There's your esoteric understanding of the wheat and the tares. Fields will be covered with the dead. The innocent will also perish. Some will die by fire, others by hunger, and others by war. The earth will tremble. The elements will be moved. Lava will flow from the mountains, and the seas will become turbulent. I will allow men to take their perversity to a limit, to where their free will allows them, in order that, horrified by their own work, they may feel true repentance in their spirits. That's Revelation 2, 9 and 3, 9. Let me get it. That is what that is. This is because Ish is the key. When they're exposed, everything changes. And that's what we're seeing today. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. There it is. But I do not punish. It is you who punish yourselves by disregarding the laws which govern your spirit and physical body. Who has unleashed and provoked the force of nature, if not the foolishness of men? Who has defied my laws? It is the men of science in their arrogance. But verily I say to you, men of science in their arrogance. That's Ish. But verily I say to you, the pain will serve to pull out the bad weed which has grown in the heart of humanity. Fields will be covered with dead. The innocent will also perish. Some will die by fire, others by hunger, and others by war. The earth will tremble. The elements will be moved. Lava will flow from the mountains, and the seas will become turbulent. I will allow men to take their perversity to a limit, to where their free will allows them, in order that, horrified by their own work, they might feel true repentance in their spirits. The tree of scientific knowledge will be greatly shaken by the fury of the elements of nature, and humanity will receive the fruits from the fall. Who, other than man, will be responsible for causing the elements of nature to become unleashed? It is It is fine that the earliest beings knew pain for the purpose of awakening them to reality and causing them to be born to the light of the consciousness and to obey the law. But why does the evolved, conscious, and developed man of this time profane the tree of life? Epidemics will fall upon the world, strange and rare diseases before which science will be impotent, and a great part of humanity will perish. The universe will be cleansed of its weeds. My justice shall separate out the selfishness, the hatred, and the tireless ambition. Great phenomena of nature will appear. Nations will be swept away and lands will disappear. This will serve as a warning bell for your hearts. I mean, you can't. You can't make this up. I'm going to read the results of judgment. And when it appears, because after that was the apocalyptic wars, pest, plagues, and destruction, page 289 of the Third Testament. The next one is natural catastrophes and earthquakes. Okay. And then it goes loving justice and the mercy of God. But I'm going to skip those two, and I'm going straight to the result of judgment. And when it appears that all has ended for man, that it is death which has won, or evil that has triumphed, from out of the darkness will come the beings to the light. From death they will be revived into the tree of life, and out of the abyss of evil they shall rise up to practice the eternal law of the Father. Not all shall know the abyss, for just as some have tried to remain apart from the war of passions, ambitions, and hatreds, and have lived outside of the new Sodom, others who have sinned much will yet know to stop in time, and by the opportune repentance and complete regeneration, avoid many tears and much pain. That's good news. Of all the moral and material structure of this humanity, there shall not be left here one stone upon another. Because for the new man to appear on this earth, it is necessary to erase all stain, to destroy all sin, and to leave only that which is of good seed. The splendor of my presence and my justice shall be contemplated all over the globe, and before that light, idols will fall. Traditional routines will be forgotten, and sterile rites will be abandoned. One single door will remain open for the salvation of men, that of spirituality. And he who wishes to save himself will have to leave behind his pride, his false greatness, his low passions, and his selfishness. Very bitter shall be the cup from which men must drink in the great battle. And yet I tell you, happy shall be those who drink from the cup and depart from earth already purified. For when they return in their bodies to this world, their message will be one of light, peace, and wisdom. Hold on. Let's go back. Let's read this again because I want to make a point here. Very bitter shall be the cup from which men must drink in the great battle. And yet I tell you, happy shall be those who drink from the cup and depart from earth already purified, for when they return in their bodies to this world. Now, you know, we talked about the cup of dregs, that he said he would take the cup out of our hands and put it into the hands that have afflicted us. They won't drink it. They're not going to want to drink it. They're going to do their tranquilizers, their fentanyl, their drugs, and they would rather take their own life than to drink the cup of dregs that we had to drink, that they forced on us. Now, understand that. So when he's saying happy are those who drank the cup, that's us. That's us. When we drank of it, we drank it, we dealt with it, we fought through it, we sucked it up, we moved on, we got beat down, and we got up. And here we are. And this is what he's saying. Happy will those be. This is where our rapture comes in. We are happy. We don't care about their inability to withstand the pain. No, I don't want that pain. I've been hurt so much. I need some fentanyl. I need some tranquilizer, some horse tranquilizer. You got some tranquilizer? Let me smoke it. Let me cook it. Let me do this. Let me eat it. Let me drink it. What? The father's like, if you take the, if you drink these dregs, and once you drink it, you will repent. You will have salvation. You will be part of my crew. And he's like, and they like, nah, I ain't drinking it. He's like, all right. Okay. That's your choice. That's your free will to do. Don't drink it. Their message will be one of light, peace, and wisdom. That's us. We're light, peace, and wisdom. Why? Because we have taken, we have drank the dregs. We have drank from the cup. The last whirlwinds and the last battles with their quotas of bitterness are yet to come. It is necessary yet for all the forces to agitate and the atoms to spin in chaos so that afterward there can come the lethargy, the fatigue, the sadness, and the weariness that seem like death. And that will be the hour when in the sublimity of the consciousness, of the conscience, the vibrating echo of a trumpet. See, this is the Father's echo. I did a lesson on that a while ago, the echoes. Okay, they have the Gentiles have deadened the Father's echoes, and the Father allowed them to do that. He allowed them to do that with their reverb. They sat around and they did their reverb. They played over his echo, you know. They reverbed, you know, country music, everything, us. Look at me. It's about me. And the Father's echo was drowned out. But now his echo is coming back. This is what we're hearing. We're hearing this spiritually and physically. This is what we're hearing, his echo, okay? Let me read that. And that will be the hour when in the sublimity of the conscious, the vibrating echo of a trumpet will be heard, announcing from the beyond that the kingdom of life and peace comes to the men of goodwill. And before the voice of that trumpet, the dead in spirit will rise, weeping tears of repentance, and the Father shall receive them like prodigal sons, worn out from the long journey and fatigue from the great struggle, and seal their spirits, bestowing upon them the kiss of love. That's beautiful. From that day forward, man shall abhor war, tear hatred and rancor from his heart, persecute sin, and begin a life of restoration and reconstruction. I can't wait. Many will feel inspired by a light they did not previously hold, they did not previously behold, and they will rise up to create a world of peace. It shall be only the beginning of the time of grace, the era of peace. The Stone Age is long past. The time of science will also pass. And then the ear of the Spirit shall flower among men. The source of life will reveal great mysteries so that men can construct a world strong in the science of good and justice and in love. My peace be with you. That's beautiful. I mean, this is what, you know, again, the end game. This is why we should have no fear. Those that fear the end are those that will not suffer through the physical. We are hedging our bets on the spirit world. This is what we're doing. We're not saying, oh well, you know what, we like the physical, we want to be in the churches, we want the world to find people. No. We want our spirits to have rest. We want our spirits to have shalom. We want peace. Don't we want peace? Don't we want to be able to commune together in a peaceful manner with no agendas, no secret combinations, no backstabbing, no lies, no trickery? Aren't we tired yet? I know I am. It's like I was talking about the draft not too long ago. These kids, Generation Z, lost. This kid on Generation Z, let me see if I can find it real quick. Because I was like, that's exactly what we're about to see. It's exactly what we're about to see. And it's a shame. But this kid
summed it up. Here it is. Let's see if I can.
Everybody saying Gen Z is going to get drafted.
Wait.
Like, why is everybody saying Gen Z is going to get drafted? Like, no, the fuck we're not. And you know why I know that? Because we're just going to say no. Like, how are they going to actually force us to get up and go to work? I understand it was like that in, like, the 1940s. What else is there to do in 1940 besides shoot people? We have things to do nowadays. We have twerk, be bisexual, eat a hot chip, lie. And we're also, like, really mentally ill. I have, like, six of these. What makes you think I'm qualified to have a gun, like, within 600 feet of anybody, including myself? And finally, like, guns are, like, so tacky. Like, can you imagine just, like, pulling up with a gun? Like, that is so fucking embarrassing. Like, what is this, the Revolutionary fucking War? No. Like, let's just chat. Let's just talk. There's no need for all the, like, why is everybody...
Now, he makes good, solid points here at the end. You know, let's just chat. But that the world does not want to chat. They want to kill, steal, and destroy. And the Generation Z, as soft as they are, they do truly have a heart of peace. They're all wayward. They're all delusional. But their heart is in the right place. Sad to say, they're going to be taken out of the way by their own people. But this is the draft. This is what they want to draft. Their population is in straight decline. Their mentality is in straight decline. Their society is in straight decline. Politics is in straight decline. Their spirituality is in straight decline. What makes you think that these people have any chance? I'll say it like this. The Father is the only chance they got. That's it. And the Father said, my people are the only chance they got, that they got. And they say, well, Jesus is the only chance I got. We'll see how it all plays out. And by the looks of it, based on where we've come from, based on where we're going, we're winning. And it's not even a puzzle anymore. We're winning. We used to think we're losing every step of the way. Matter of fact, we were losing every step of the way. But then, all of a sudden, the Father said, wait, you ain't lost nothing. You're not lost. I found you. Again. Get up. Wake up. Get up. Wipe the sleep from your face, take the pillow from your head, and put a book in it. All praises, to our Father, to our Messiah, to our ancestors, to our spirituality, to our understanding, overstanding, understanding. To our nation, to ourselves, all praises. Because without us, this world is done. And the world, and without our world, there's no reason to be. But our Father has brought us from the precipice of straight up death, of self-degradation to righteousness. And for that, he needs to be praised all the time. And we don't have to boast like the nations. We don't have to boast like the camps. All we have to do is worship, praise, and walk. And let our actions, our works, be the light to the world. That's our purpose. That's our mission. That's what this is about. And if you really get down to the nitty-gritty, the world could be synonymous, I'll say it like that, with our world. So don't we want to be a light in our world? Because when we become the light, this world will fade away. So our purpose is to light our world. Just like our Father said, let there be light. And there was light. This is what we keep feeling. This is why we can feel it. So the question is, can you feel it? I can feel it. The exchange of situation is here. Our redemption is here. Our salvation is here. No more do we have to wait for it. We can make it happen now through the grace of the Father, with the Spirit of the Father. This is the collective consciousness. The more of us, and this is the tricky part, because if we as a group, as a collective, decided to manifest righteousness, everything would change today. But it's difficult because we don't have the full power yet. It's like in my dining room, I have the little circle light thing, the little circle light switch. So it's a dimmer, right? So I can turn it on as bright as I want, and I can turn it off, right? So that we're on, we're just a little dim. But the more we grow, the more that light gets and the more brighter we become. And we then will know whose world this is. We'll know whose we are and who we are. We would have instituted, we would have ushered in, we would have created the kingdom to come. Because don't you see that this kingdom's on its way out? Their kingdom's on their way out. So there's got to be the next kingdom. But the only way the next kingdom, I mean, really quickly, I'll just end on this. Each civilization in this world from the beginning came and went. But it came and went based on a philosophy and ideology and principles. This next one will be no different. But it will be based upon righteousness, something the world hasn't seen in a long time. I would venture to say since Enoch's kingdom, all right? I mean, when it was literally the whole world, Solomon still had some, I mean, it was still righteousness, but it wasn't pure righteousness, okay? That's my opinion on that. But the reality is that we're now at, we're now able to usher in our kingdom to come. This is all spiritual. It's all manifestations. It's all esoteric. The nations are running around trying to figure out our scriptures from a physical or carnal, perspective. And yet they've gotten nowhere since they've gotten those stolen our scriptures. We get it in the last 7 years, and we're building our temples inside of us. That says a lot. And we should be very thankful that our Father has brought us to this point, because we are the masons that's going to build the kingdom to come. This is the beauty of who we are. We have that innate ability to do so, to build. We built every other civilization. We built every other kingdom on the face of this earth from the beginning of time. Why the hell would we not be building our own? This is why we are here now. This is a spiritual manifestation of the truth. The truth sets you free. The free will, the freedom is to build, is to grow, is to have shalom. All praises to our Father. All praises to our Father, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All praises. May your week be full of blessings and joy. Shalom.